So, okay, good. All right, is it 5:15? I don't even know.
5:18.
5:18. Okay, great. So, we're still waiting for the rest of the Environmental Advisory Council, but okay. Oh, hello, Alder Winter. Alder Steve Winter is our Environmental Advisory Council representative to the Board of Alders. So we have a lot of people named Stephen here today. So we're going to have to try and keep everybody straight. We will do our best. I make no promises. Okay. So why don't we start? Dawn, go for it. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Dawn Penney, Assistant City Engineer, and I help facilitate the meeting.
Yes. Dawn is our expert at everything environmental, helps us with all the council things that we with which we need help. Okay. Let's see. Steve Vitko, you are next in my box.
Hi, how's everybody doing? Steve Vitko, Senior Environmental Analyst for the Regional Water Authority. I'm coming on today just to answer a few questions that Laura presented to us earlier or later last week.
Great, thanks. Next, we have Rafael Ramos.
Rafael Ramos, Director of Environmental Health, New Haven Health Department.
Great. Stephen Mongillo.
Good evening. I am the Consumer Affairs Chairman at the Regional Water Authority and the Hamden representative to the Policy Board. So Jeff had contacted me, Jeff D'Onofrio, who's our Office of Consumer Affairs, representing all consumers. And I'm tuning in just to see what your issues were and go from there. So appreciate your including me. Thanks.
Great. Okay. Gene Connolly. You're muted, Gene. You're muted. Don, did you see that Florestine's having trouble getting in? Okay, are you ready, Gene?
Connolly and I don't give much to the council, but I'm on the lookout for the light situation in town. And if Florestine doesn't get here first and give the report, then I will give the report on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, we're going to start. We're not going to go in order of the agenda because we're going to start with the water issues and the traffic issues. So anyway, you'll have a lot of time to do that. Jameson, please introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I am Jameson Folk. I'm one of Senator Chris Murphy's outreach assistants. I cover the sort of greater New Haven area and the 3rd Congressional District. So just here to sort of listen.
Thank you. We appreciate your coming. Pierre Barber.
Hi, everybody. My name is Pierre Barber. I'm the Executive Director of the New Haven Solid Waste and Recycling Authority. And generally make comments on materials and materials coming through the city of New Haven.
Great. Debbie Elkin.
I'm just an interested resident.
Great. Chris Ozick.
Interested resident.
Great. Jeffrey D'Onofrio.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I'm Jeff D'Onofrio. I'm the Consumer Affairs Officer for the South Central Connecticut Regional Water Authority and a lawyer in private practice in North Haven.
Great. Alder Steve Winter.
Hi, good evening. I'm Alder Steve Winter, the aldermanic representative for the Environmental Advisory Council and an interested resident.
Great. Iris Kaminsky.
I am Iris Kaminsky. I'm a board member and also a water expert.
Great. Sally Cruz.
Hi, I'm Sally Cruz, and I'm with the New Haven Port Authority.
Great. Jacob Robeson.
Jacob Robeson, New Haven City Plan Department.
Sorry, Robeson, my mistake.
No problem.
Madeline Kahn, are you here?
I'm Madeline Kahn. I'm an interested resident and tech support.
Catherine Lamar.
Good evening. I am an interested resident and Deputy Corporation Counsel for the City of New Haven and a member of the Regional Water Authority Board.
Great. Jim Stacy.
Well, let's see, unmute. I'm an interested resident, retired science teacher, with also a background in city environmental planning.
Great. Naomi Campbell.
Good afternoon. My name is Naomi Campbell, and I am the New Haven representative for the RPB.
Great. The New Haven Water Thank you. Thanks. Kiko Wong.
Hi, good evening. I'm an interested resident as well.
Great. Jasmine Peel. Jasmine, you're muted. I don't know if you mean to be. Well, I know Jasmine Peel is a new environmental planner in the city plan department. So maybe Jasmine's doing something else. Lou Birch.
Hi, good afternoon. Lou Rosado Birch. Live at 73 West Prospect Street.
Great. Aaron Good.
Hi, everyone. Aaron Good, resident of Fairhaven Heights. I'm with the Greater New Haven Green Fund. And I'm also one of the organizers for the Connecticut Green Expo, which is this Saturday. Everybody's invited to come out.
Great. Thank you. So Jasmine is having microphone issues. And so she put in the chat, sorry, microphone issues, Jasmine Peel, environmental planner, New Haven City Plan. Dawn, any luck getting Florestine entered into the meeting? I can't hear you. You're on mute.
I'm working on it.
Oh, you're working on it. Thanks. Okay. She could call in by phone if she wants. Okay. Well, and I don't know if Kathy Fay is trying to get in or Sochi Garcia, our new member. And I think that's it. Anyway, I think we're going to carry on. So we can't have elections because we don't have the whole Environmental Advisory Council here. And I asked the head of the City Department of Traffic, Transportation and Parking, Sandeep Isola, to come to the meeting to discuss some of the issues around motorcycles and mobile digital billboards and loud car radios, but he is not here. So I think we are going to go on. Madeline, do you think you could put the two, all the documents I sent out with the agenda, with the last email I sent this afternoon, so that anybody who didn't get those can see them? We don't have time to go through every single thing on the agenda, so I decided it would be easier to just put some updates in the some update documents in emails, so you could read them all. I hope that's okay. Open facilitator, hi. Would you like to introduce yourself? CPEN facilitator, whoever you are. If you want to introduce yourself, we've just done introductions. We're happy to have you here.
It's just Doreen, Laura.
Doreen, oh, hi, Doreen. Right, our other Environmental Advisory Council. Thank you for being here. Sorry, I can't see anything because I've been staring into my computer for too long.
It's okay, I'm using my CPEN thinga. Okay.
It's fine, great. So this is Doreen Abubakar, another Environmental Advisory Council member. So Dawn, if you should see Kathy Fay in the waiting room I think we are waiting for her. But so now you can see Madeline tried to put all the flyers and documents from the emails I sent. So everybody who wants can save them or read them if you don't already have them. And oh, great. Jeannie DeBino's here. Okay. Hello, Jeannie. Welcome. So this is Jeannie DeBino, an interested concerned citizen, and she happens to be a neighbor of Madeline's and mine. So hi, welcome. Hi. So as I was just saying, I just had Madeline put all the agenda stuff in the update in the chat box so that you can see it. And we're going to start with the water issues. So the people from the Water Authority who are here are Jeff D'Onofrio, Steve Vitko, and Steve Mongillo. So, and we have Naomi Campbell, New Haven's representative to the Water Board, and Catherine Lamar, New Haven's representative to the Water Advisory Board. So we have a lot of water people here. So John, maybe you could phone her. Oh, you asked her to call you. Great. Okay, thanks. So let us get right into the water issues. Sorry about all the dings. I apologize. Let's see who's here. Oh, Kathy Fay is now here. Kathy is another member of the Environmental Advisory Council. I think we're all the members of the Environmental Advisory Council are now here. Welcome, Kathy. So we are going to start with the water issues. So I don't know who the best person to answer the questions is, but I know that I asked them and gave them in advance to Steve Vitko. So Steve, tell me how it is, if you know, that leaf blower ad came to be, the one that encouraged people to use leaf blowers instead of hoses to clear sidewalks during abnormally dry conditions, and why it took weeks to take it down after I emailed about five people at the water company.
Right, right. So we've had many internal discussions on this matter, but so as you may be aware, the part of RWA's continuous commitment to educate our customers on how to use water wisely since 2020, if you remember, 2020 was a fairly dry year, and there was also a lot of people at home, and that caused our water consumption rates to go very high in store numbers. So we actually partnered with WTNH to air a series of public water service ads, and it was called Water Wise Ways. So if you've seen WTNH in the morning, or maybe our Facebook ads, I think we put them on Instagram as well. It's called Water Wise Ways. And we've been adding to these small 15-second clips throughout the year since 2020. So as I said, they're online, and they are they're 15-second messages that offer just very simple, practical, and sustainable conservation tips and ways that our service area and our customers could help supply public water needs for not just our customers, but for also fire protection and the environment. So part of those ads, one out of the now, I believe, 10 are in rotation. One of those ads was using a broom or a blower and not a garden hose to clear debris from the sidewalks and driveways. And I'll state that this is certainly a common water utility practice when it comes to communicating ways to use water wisely outdoors, especially during drought conditions. This particular ad about using the broom and blower was developed consistently with messaging from other national water utilities and sustainable water conservation guidelines. And some of those, just to name a few that were consistent with our adding, and ready.gov is one of them, an official website of the U.S. government. The USGS, U.S. Geological Survey, suggests the same example. Department of Ecology of a Wisconsin state does the same thing. And mass.gov offers the same sort of advertisements. So we feel as if they were certainly consistent with not just the Northeast, but the national water conservation efforts that were going on at the time and still to this day. And, you know, we have pulled the ad since you did voice your concerns about the noise pollution and the spreading of dust and contaminants as potential health concerns.
Okay. So I just want to say that I think the Regional Water Authority is a little out of touch. We have been working with a huge coalition of people all over the state and all over New York and Massachusetts and other states to get rid of leaf blowers, including California. And I heard that the first solution to this ad was to Photoshop a cord, an electric cord, onto the leaf blower. I just wanted to, I find this unconscionable. We've held two very long public hearings in New Haven about leaf blowers and the damage they do. We've had doctors and other experts of all varieties tell us how bad leaf blowers are. And I just think that you need to be a lot more on the alert about what conservation practices actually are. I do not remember any mention of a broom in this ad, but I may have missed it. But I hope you don't count on me to police all of your conservation ads that are exchanging one environmental problem for another.
Right, right. Well, the key is too that we were certainly in some drought sort of conditions. And we need to, as a water company, we need to maintain the water that we have in our currently in our service area. And the simple way that we do that is to put these ads out there to address to our customers the best potential way to conserve water. And for us, water conservation during drought events is the utmost importance. And this particular tip, was within the realm of advertising for a sustainable solution. So that's exactly what we did.
Okay. Well, in future, I hope you will consider other environmental issues when you are developing and airing ads. And I hope if someone like me, who has spent months and years working on an issue, points it out to you, you take it down immediately and not wait weeks. I understand that it was not even addressed by anyone for at least 2 weeks. And I'm very disappointed that I, as a water customer, am paying for such problems, because I don't want to encourage anybody to be using leaf blowers under any circumstances. I didn't even go into half the problems with leaf blowers in my email to you, but there are many. There's an international group headed by Quiet Communities, headed by someone named Jamie Banks, who is working on the leaf blower issue. And this is not a small issue. It is whatever. I'm extremely disappointed in how you handled this. And I hope in future you do a much better job. And I know it wasn't you personally. I get that.
No, we certainly appreciate the feedback, and you know, like I said, I'll state it just one last time. Our sources of recommendations that go out to our customers were consistent with what others other water utilities and other water conservation ads were putting out. So we're doing our best to make sure that the public is well aware of everything that they can do to conserve water, especially during drought conditions.
Okay. Point taken. So I don't know if you see that Chris Ozick put in the chat, I think hosing off driveways is a bad environmental practice, period. And Jeannie DiBino wrote, I share Laura Kahn's sentiments. This is a very serious issue and should have been addressed much sooner. So anyway, we will count on the water company to help us in future with all our issues. So on to item number two that I shared with you. I want to know if the Regional Water Authority customers are going to be compensated for the up to 200,000 gallons of water Yale bought at a discount to water their golf course for nearly 20 years before RWA started selling it. I think this is a very bad way for the water company to be selling water at a discount to an enormous entity that shouldn't be using that much water anyway. And I would like to know your views on that.
Yeah, certainly. So so the use of water at not just Yale facilities, but all facilities, not subsidized by other customers in the RWA service areas. So about every 5 years or so, the RWA goes through a fair and equitable cost of survey study to determine the rates of our service area. And this process, just to give you a little a flip note version of it, the process includes consideration of volumes and service sizes, amongst many other factors, which puts a rate schedule in place. And that rate schedule and the increases go through a thorough vetting process. And this is both through our five-member authority and the our representative policy board. So it also goes through a public hearing process and an approval process. So the use at Yale facilities is not subsidized by other customers in RWA service area.
But they do pay a lower rate than residential customers.
So all of the, I can't say it offsets itself, but the RWA, like I said, does a fair and equitable cost study, which basically, depending on the amount of service you, the amount of water you use and your service sizes, you could be charged more or less. So, a larger service size would be more expensive, which would put out more water and more consumption than a smaller service size. So particular parts of it offset each other.
Okay.
Well, I'll state that I'm by no means an expert in this portion of it. I'm on the environmental side of things. So, I've touched base with many people to figure out, what the fair and equitable cost studies represent. But like I said, the Yale facilities are not subsidized by you and me or other RWA customers.
Okay. Any of our other water experts, Jeff D'Onofrio, Steve Mongillo, I apologize for mispronouncing your name, Catherine Lamar or Naomi Campbell, have anything to add to this?
This is Jeff D'Onofrio. The Regional Water Authority, every 18 months, with the exception of the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic, has been filing issuance test rate applications, which are subject to a public hearing process. And it's typical that every couple of rate applications, at least over the last decade, it's become typical for the Water Authority to have a cost of service study performed. And in that cost of service study, which is done by an independent outside vendor, they examine different categories of clients, whether they be wholesale clients, whether they be the typical residential customer, whether they be public fire protection customers, to see if the rate that is being charged recoups the cost associated with providing service to that class of customer. And that's something that I look very closely at when I take a position on a pending rate application in connection with my testimony at the public hearing. And as Mr. Vitko indicated, the focus is on finding the rate structure that is the most fair and equitable to the consumers as a whole. For example, the amount that's charged for public fire service is a little bit below the cost of providing the service, but that's a pass-through cost that municipalities pay and in turn tax their residents for as part of their property taxes. So I'm always looking on behalf of consumers at these rate studies to determine whether or not changes are necessary to rate structures for one or more categories, one or more classes of customers. And the wholesale water contracts are something that we've talked about and have been scrutinized by us in connection with the last two rate applications. I'm satisfied that the rate structure, while not perfect, is the most equitable way to set rates for all classes of customers.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with you, and I'm a little concerned that there's very little oversight of the Water Authority. The PURA does not have oversight, and the Office of Consumer Counsel only has you, their appointee, and there was so much water on that golf course that it has troubled the neighborhood. My daughter driving home from Woodbridge had to detour around Curtis Drive yesterday because the street was flooded because a drain collapsed, a brand new drain, I think, that was because the sewers were just replaced within the last year or two. And I don't know, I think New Haven.
Hi, Laura. It's Giovanni. Hi, Giovanni. No, actually, it's a clay pipe from the 1920s.
Okay.
I think the sewers that you're referring to are different. We're actually going to tap into those to fix it. But no, it's a 100-year-old clay pipe.
Okay. Thank you, Giovanni. I take that back. Okay. Nevertheless, there have been many water problems in the neighborhood over the past 20 years and many news reports about them. And I am convinced that at least some of them come from the golf course and so much water. Lou Rosado Birch, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. I just, just to kind of put a fine point on one of the issues that the council is raising. I mean, RWA clearly has acknowledged that there's a need to conserve water, particularly in times of drought. And so I think, you know, for folks who might not know, that this is, I think, a growing problem. A lot of water companies are in the practice of providing some type of discount to large water users, large volume water users. And, you know, I think perhaps it's, you might all go back and have a conversation about how this jives with some of the other priorities that you all are talking about, given that offering a discount to a large water user is for the use of this water, opposed to something that you're all trying to do, which is to provide incentives to conserve water. So I think that's one of the problems that is happening here. And you all have come out very forcefully, especially through, you know, not RWA specifically, but the water companies have come out and pushed back against legislative mandates to provide incentives. And so perhaps that's something you all can talk about doing voluntarily.
Great. I don't know. Jim Stacy wrote something in the chat to Steve Vitko about leaf blowers. We'll get back to that. How to raise your hand, Jim. There's a little box in the upper right hand corner with three dots in it. I think if you go to that, you'll be, oh no, that's not how to do it. I can't remember. Madeline, can you answer Jim how to raise a hand? Does anyone want to respond to Lou's comment about water conservation versus water discount?
Yes.
Kathy, yes. We'll get to you afterwards. Okay. Who would like to respond to that?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Anyone from the water company or representatives?
Oh, okay.
Would anyone like to? Okay. Jim, you may speak, and then Kathy.
I was involved as a city environmental planner in Norfolk, Virginia for the city of Norfolk back in 1973, 74, 75, a long time ago. And I say that to emphasize that at that time, Norfolk was beginning to face a lot of water issues, including saltwater intrusion, shortages, and a variety of other issues. At that time and after that, I think at least within the environmental community and people really concerned about water conservation, the old approach of inverse water fees, in other words, charging less for more, was really going out. And I'm surprised that it still exists.
Me too.
RWA should be actually the reverse in trying to kind of emphasize water conservation.
Yes. Thank you. Kathy, what would you like to say?
I don't think there's much more I can add, except that I also think that there should be, or that it should be flipped so that the incentives are that the, you know, that it could even be staged, so that the incentives are for, you know, first establishing a baseline with these large users, and then slowly, you know, slowly having a way that as their usage goes down, that they're somehow incentivized or rewarded. I just think it's really important, especially because we don't know with these changes whether, you know, what our water supply is even going to look like, besides the fact that right now that Energy Efficiency Board is doing, you know, we're installing water saving measures. That's being paid out of people's, you know, electric ratepayer funds, not out of, you know, anything that the water companies have organized. So just want to point that out.
Thank you, Kathy. And by the way, I forgot to welcome Florestine Taylor, our other Environmental Advisory Council member who has joined us. Florestine had trouble getting in. We are so sorry. Alder Steve Winter, our EAC rep, what would you like to add about this?
Thanks, Laura. I'd like to request that the folks from the Water Authority address this inverse pricing issue and explain why they believe that's the most equitable pricing arrangement given the need for water conservation that we're seeing, not just locally, but all around the world. You know, we've got mega droughts everywhere.
Good point.
Is there somebody who can speak to that?
Well, before we get to that, I must tell you that I live in a house that abuts a Yale athletic field on which there is a plastic field hockey field in sight of my kitchen window. They water that field every day before the girls play field hockey because it makes the ball go faster. And today they watered it for 2 hours, I believe. And this is watering a plastic field. And I just want to know, is this municipal water they're using?
I thought I was on mute. I'm sorry. So I cannot speak to if that's municipal or pond water. I don't know what they're connected to over there. I know that a lot of the golf course is connected to the feeding ponds that are there, and we use that almost exclusively. At the fields, I would think it's probably public water, but the RWA doesn't regulate how much volume or how often or when Yale or really any consumer, you or me, uses their water. We have taken part in the past with educating Yale faculty and Yale facility members on how to irrigate properly and the best management practices. And from what we understand for turf fields, it does seem like a bit of an odd concept to water something that doesn't physically need water. But from our understanding, it's more of a safety issue. What happens is when you water the fields, it actually lubricates the surface to reduce injuries to athletes, and it also cools the surface. Obviously, it's been very, very hot out. So the water actually cools the surface to reduce rug burns and heat-induced illnesses. So I believe, part of Yale's overarching, they are a business, and part of it is to maintain their athletic fields. And I believe that's the reasoning that they use to do that, to minimize injury damage.
Okay, so first of all, they told me the reason they water the field hockey field every day is to make the ball go faster. They told me that. Yale told me that. And second of all, plastic playing surfaces require pesticides and detergents for upkeep, and those require water. And I have a problem with plastic playing fields, and I know they're connected to municipal water over there because I have seen and photographed the city water connection, and I heard all the noise while they were installing their new irrigation system. And I find it a little bit interesting that you, the water company engineer, aren't aware of this. And I'm pretty sure that Yale is not using their ponds to water their golf course, because I have the report from the EPA from many years ago that told them they had poison water and they had to either post a notice of poison water or use some other water. So they connected to municipal water. And since you stopped letting them use 200,000 gallons a day of municipal water, I hear someone heard from a Yale employee that they are trucking water in. So I could be mistaken, and maybe you know better than I do, but I know they were using municipal water for nearly 20 years, and I know they're not now.
Yes, we have met with Yale in the past, and they actually typically use the supply water ponds on their course from typically May to October, where they can actually legally divert water with their DEEP diversion permit. After that point, when they are not legally able to supply water with their own water ponds, I believe the date is after sometime in October, let's say October 1st, they then use Regional Water Authority water to spritz the greens during frost events so players can play in the morning, which it's not a widespread watering. It's just a quick spritz on the greens in order to reduce frost so that their players can play. But for the most part, during the year, they have a diversion permit, and they divert water from their own supply ponds on the grounds.
Thank you for that clarification. Okay, in case anyone wonders, Madeline has put a couple of photos in the chat of the watering of the plastic field hockey field. And by the way, this is the third iteration of plastic Yale has put on that field. They had first a green plastic field, which they took up after about 5 years, and it went into some landfill somewhere. Then they put down a Yale blue one, and this summer they replaced it with another green one. So you can imagine acres and acres of that plastic in a landfill. Anyway, let's get back to Alder Steve Winter's question about the inverse water. Is that the last thing we want to talk about? Is that the last thing you were questioning, the inverse water consumption? The inverse water pricing? I can't remember. I know there was, you asked a question. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, I was asking for them to respond to that.
Great, okay.
Laura, this is Steve Mangiello, okay? I have, my internet's a little unstable, so I hope that you can hear me, but I just want to address the issue of oversight. I'm not sure that you understand the whole structure. You know, the Regional Water Authority is a regional public utility. And when it was created, the way it was structured is that there is a 5-member board that oversees the water company. Catherine Lamar is on that board from New Haven. In addition to that, in place of the DPUC, there is a representative from each of the towns that belong to the Regional Water Authority. And Naomi Campbell is New Haven's representative. I'm Hamden's representative. So among our functions are to approve projects over $2 million. We approve the rates, as Jeff talked about, and we also approve land disposition issues. There's probably 30,000 acres of land in the Regional Water Authority to protect and to conserve. So, all of these functions usually involve public hearings as well. So there is a lot of oversight in terms of how they do what they do. So there are ways to access that, and I just don't want you to feel frustrated and know that there are a lot of people representative to the authority that can help you with any of these issues.
You know, I must tell you that about a year before the pandemic, the Environmental Advisory Council had 3 people, including Jeff D'Onofrio, come to an in-person meeting with us. And we were told that no golf course was using more than 40,000 gallons of water a day. And it wasn't until we presented the documentation from Yale that the regional authority looked into the matter and found that Yale was indeed using up to 200,000 gallons of municipal water a day. I also want to tell you that I find that there is very little oversight, and I'm not the only one. I met with the EPA criminal investigators a week ago Friday, and they have been investigating for 20 years because of the pesticide and water use issues. Unfortunately, they have a statute of limitation of 5 years, which is another issue, but the fact that you are not part of PURA is very troubling to all of us who are educated consumers.
Well, I just explained that our board has that function and does do those things. You're confusing two issues, though. I think we would be part of defining a policy for use, but no, you know, the representatives don't monitor that use on a day-to-day basis. As long as there's water available, customers can use the water. So, you know, in general, I can tell you that the RWA started the summer with 100% full reservoirs. We had a good supply of water that water supply comes in the winter primarily. And it was there, and we did have a dry summer, and at some point the water company did ask for voluntary reduction of 10%, I believe, but there are very strict defined rules about the level of the reservoirs, the drought conditions, and what the responses are. So that's a very structured plan that's already in place.
I know Iris Kaminsky has served on the drought board, and she has participated in those meetings. But don't you think that it's incumbent upon all of us to set a good example for the rest of the world in water conservation? And I will be quiet now and let Anstris and Iris and Kathy talk. And Kathy put in the chat, if appropriate incentives for water conservation were in place, Yale may not even have decided to install these plastic turf fields, which seem to require more watering than grass most seasons. And Lou Rosado Birch put in the chat, declining block rates are what we're talking about. So Anstris, your turn.
Laura, before we move on to other comments, could we have more discussion about the declining block rates from the Water Authority representatives who are here?
Yes. Do any of the three people who have their hands raised want to talk about that? Okay. They don't. Yes. We should talk about the block rates.
Well, this is Justin Alvarez. I can tell you, as I indicated before, that, and as Vico indicated, the Regional Water Authority has had multiple rate structure cost of service studies performed. And the lead consultant that's been doing those studies is a firm named Raftellis. And George Raftellis, who was the principal, I think was director of Ernst & Young's National Environmental Consulting Practice 30 years ago when he started his firm. And what they do is, you know, cost of service studies for local government utilities and public and private water companies. And I know that they've looked at, as one of the options, conservation-oriented water rates. And there's criteria that have to be evaluated in determining whether conservation-oriented water rates represent a superior rate structure. And you know, one of the significant considerations is the proportion of infrastructure costs recovered through fixed versus commodity charges, as well as effective communication of the price signal through consumer billing. So, you know, I'm not the rate consultant. I'm not Raftellis. He comes to Water Authority meetings every few years when there's a rate cost of service study done and makes a presentation and answers questions. And certainly I've asked my share of questions about different types of water rate structures, including conservation-oriented water rates aimed at stimulating, you know, water use efficiency and conservation over the years. And, you know, if you'd like, we can certainly get more information from the staff that participate in those cost of service studies and provide it. I am not an employee of the Water Authority. That's not my role.
Alder Steve Winter, do you want to see that information?
Yeah, I think that information's critical to the whole conversation we're having around the relationship between the price structure and water conservation.
Okay, if you wouldn't mind getting that information for us.